Love your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe and Bakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
August is National Organ Donor Awareness Month, and South Africa is a world leader in the field of organ transplantation. But the big but is that while the number of patients waiting for organ transplants continues to increase, there is an unfortunate and serious shortage of potential donors. And of course, this is a reason for great concern. Helping us understand and unpack all of this is Dr. Fundile Nyathi, a resident GP on Weekend Breakfast, and of course, the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions. Good morning, Dr. Nyathi. Trust you're well.
I'm good. Thank you. Good morning, Refilwe, and good morning to your listeners.
Such a pleasure to have you on as per usual, Dr. Nyathi. Let's talk about the state of organ donation in South Africa and the dire shortage of potential donors compared to people that do need transplants. How bad is it, or how serious is it?
Yes. It's a very, very serious problem, Refilwe. You know, there's a serious mismatch between the demand on the ground, that is, people who have illnesses or diseases that have caused their major organs to be at what we refer to as end-stage disease, who only can be helped if they receive organs that are donated, you know, from other people. Mm-hmm. So it's a major, major problem, and it's worsening. So that's a real problem because, I mean, it's not like the bodies are not there, for example, you know, to be harvested, you know, for these organs. But there's a lot that goes into the decision for people to donate. And also the decision by the families to consent, you know, even if somebody had made the decision to donate. So there's a lot that goes to it, and it is so important that we increase the awareness to the people in South Africa of the need to seriously consider signing up for, you know, for organ donation.
Absolutely. Just unpack for us how one becomes an organ donor, because you've just made you've just made a distinction that there is a difference between an individual signing up to become an organ donor, but then the additional process of family consenting for one's organs to be donated. Is that a two-step process, or are you talking about, when you talk about families consenting to have their family members or deceased or dying family members' organs donated, are you saying that quite often, are you alluding to the fact that quite often there will be someone on call at the hospital who has to have these rather difficult conversations with families and say, your family member, your loved one? Hi, Dr. Nyathi.
There was some music there.
A very loud gremlin in the machine. Apologies for that.
No,
I couldn't even speak over it. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Look, all right. No, it's not like it's a two-stage process.
Sure. Explain that for us.
All right. There is, I think in South Africa, we must recognize that we have an NGO that is very good, you know, in this space of organ donation. It's called Organ Donor Foundation, you know. Now, they are the people who make it an easy process for people to register to be, a potential donors through their website, which is www.odf.org.za. One can then just, you know, go into that website and register to be an organ donor. And by so doing, then you get into a national, you know, registry or database of organ donors. And what that does then, you know, is that in the event that, you know, for example, if you are involved in some, you know, accident, and then you are declared brain dead.
Sure.
Then your family members can make contact with the Organ Donor Foundation, at the time when you are still in a ventilator, to say you've been declared brain dead, and they will then, kickstart a process, to your nearest, transplant, area, so that that process can then be facilitated by them. Mm. So as a potential donor, all you do is to register, and then the family members can then just alert, the Organ Donor Foundation, the hospital, recognizing that you're an organ donor,
sure,
can actually also alert that. But from time to time, you have a situation where some family members, despite, the fact that somebody had consented, mm-hmm, to be an organ donor, they are still uncomfortable to do that. So that is a problem. But it's not necessarily a process.
Sure.
You do need, the consent of the family to harvest the body.
Of course. How long how long are organ transplant lists here in South Africa? How long is that organ transplant list?
Yeah. Oh, it's a problem. I mean, one of the studies that I've read, people can wait anything up to, about 7 to 9 years for an organ, being on the waiting list, and some people and even kids, mm, they actually die whilst waiting for somebody to give them an organ. So that is a problem. When we look at how South Africa compares, with the rest of the world, Spain is the leading country when it comes to, the amount of donations, organ donations, at about 40 per million. Brazil, somewhere around 14 per million in a population. And we are less than 3 per million,
Sure.
So that just shows, how low, despite all the expertise that we have accumulated as a country since Chris Barnard's, heart transplant operation in 1967. So we, from the expertise, we are very good, but in terms of availability, of organs for transplants, we are actually seeing a decline in the number of transplants year by year in this country.
Sure. It's quite an interesting sort of juxtaposition that you've just set up for us. The fact that professionally South Africa is more than capable of undertaking, or our medical doctors are more than capable of transplants. And of course, knowing that, knowing that the procedure, or one of the groundbreaking organ transplant procedures, came from South Africa, is quite something. And then compared to the fact that we as citizens are loath to become organ donors, the kinds of reasons, or perhaps responses to why South Africans aren't signing up to become organ donors, because of course we know that the benefits, if you decide to donate your organs, are quite huge. How many people could one individual ostensibly, how many lives could one person save, or how many people could they affect positively?
When one goes through the website and the literature, one person who has been declared brain dead, who is an organ donor, can actually save 2 lives, but also improve the lives of 50 other people, because it's not only the big solid organs like the heart, like the liver, or like the kidney, but there are also tissues that can actually be donated. Here I'm talking about the skin, the cornea of the eye, the bone, and other tissues like that. So just one person who has agreed to become a donor, can actually improve the quality of life and save lives, you know, of at least two people. And that is the importance of this, you know. Another study that was just done, looking at, you know, the attitudes between 1993 and 2013 to see in that 20-year period, has there been an improvement in how people look at these things? And they found that generally there's a positive attitude towards organ donation, in the country. However, you know, when you look at some people within the black population, you have a situation where they are more willing to donate kidneys, but organs like the heart and the liver and even the cornea, they are not so keen. So there's actually a decline in the 20-year period for those, although there's an increase in the kidney donation part. And that could be because now more and more people are aware of people who have undergone kidney transplant and there's been no problem, even sibling type of, you know, donation.
Yeah. All right. Very, very interesting that there's a distinction between organs and organ donation. Of course, I think the caveat, as you've just said, is the fact that you could quite easily, if you're a match for a family member or a loved one, you could quite easily donate a kidney, for instance. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's not an organ that is donated upon your demise. So I guess that is the big, big difference. That's a caveat. We've got a question here from Caroline. In Sandton, and it speaks to my next question. So I'm very, very happy. Effectively, talking about which, what might disqualify a person from becoming a donor. But Caroline, thank you so much for calling into Weekend Breakfast. Welcome to the program. What's your question for Dr. Nyati? Morning, Caroline. Oh, let's see if we can get her back on the line. All right. Caroline, good morning. Are you there? All right. We'll see if we can get her back. Essentially, Dr. Nyati, what I want to know is what could possibly or what would disqualify one from becoming an organ donor? If this conversation has, you know, made you sit up and think about, you know, possibly signing up.
Well, once one has decided to become an organ donor, what then needs to happen is that that person's total health status needs to be evaluated. You know, if, for example, somebody wants to donate a kidney, I'm talking about now, because we must make a distinction between, you know, a living donor and a dead donor. So if, for example, I want to donate a kidney to my sibling, you know, as a living donor, they will do a workup to check my total health status and the fact that, you know, I don't have, you know, infectious diseases that could actually create a problem for the next, you know, person who is a recipient of the of my organ. But also for the dead donors, again, the same kind of thing is done to look at the health status of the, you know, of that person's organs, so that they can decide which of the organs can they harvest. So, but generally, you know, the willingness, the signing up, and the general health status. So some people with certain conditions may not be able, you know, to be allowed. Like I said, let's say, you know, you're HIV positive, you know, or things like hepatitis B, you know, those can create problems because they may actually be transmitted to the recipient.
All right. So building on that point, Caroline is back on the line. Let's see if we can get her on. Calling in from Sandton. Welcome to the program, Caroline. Your question for Dr. Nyati.
Good morning. Sorry about earlier.
No worries.
I wanted to ask if it's possible for a person who was once infected with COVID-19, if they pass away, would they still be eligible for organ donation if they had previously decided to do so?
All right, that's a very good question. Again, I think it would depend on the stage, you know, of the infection. For example, if the person had already finished the 10 days, you know, of acute infection, and therefore they no longer have the acute infection, then there would be no reason for that person not to be considered, you know, for donation, you know. Mm-hmm. However, for somebody who is in day three, day four of the infection, it might present a problem. You know, it might present a problem. So, yeah, that would be my answer to the question.
Yeah. And thank you so much for the question, Caroline. And finally, Dr. Nyati, you know, for family members that are worried about what the process or how the process works once they agree to allow to having their loved one's organs donated or harvested, what does that process of harvesting organs look like? How long does it take? And, you know, most importantly, I guess, what are family members, you know, I don't want to say left with, but yeah, that's it. What are family members left with?
Yes. Well, I think once the person has been reported to be brain dead, for example, and then the family members contact the Organ Donor Foundation or the hospital, you know, once all the concerns have, you know, processes have been sorted out, that process normally takes less than 24 hours, in which case then the body is then returned, you know, to the family. And then the family can be able to, you know, bury the body, you know, in whatever way that they normally do. So I think that is the situation.
All right. Fantastic stuff. Dr. Nyati, does age just, here's one coming through here. Does age disqualify you as a living donor if you are advanced?
Well, again, you know, the general assumption is that with advancing age, then, you know, your general health status would actually decline. But there are many people who, you know, over the age of 60, sometimes even 70, you find that some of the organs are actually, you know, still quite good. Let's also understand that it's not only the big solid organs, but it's also the tissues, you know, the cornea, you know, and other things. So I don't think age should be used simply as a disqualifier for somebody to be a potential donor.
All right. Definitely given us lots to think about, Dr. Fundile Nyati. Always a pleasure chatting to you. Doc, please stay safe until the next time we talk.
Thank you very much. Stay safe as well.
All right. Thanks so much for your messages coming through regarding organ donation.